Please feel free to get a Bible from the shelves at the back. We are, if you're visiting with us, we're walking through the book of Luke together, the Gospel of Luke. And we are in the final few verses of chapter 10 this morning. Someone shout out the page number in the pew Bibles for me so that we can all track along. 868, well done. It's like a Bible drill in Sunday school, right? Well done, Brent. 868, if you're following on the Bibles at the back. Last week, we looked at the verses before, 25 to 37, at Jesus running with the lawyer who was trying to catch Jesus out. Nothing against lawyers. Bruce and I had a good chat at the end of service, and we're fine together. We had this lawyer who came who had the right words but the wrong heart. Do you remember? Right words, wrong heart. He asked the right questions of Jesus. He even knew the right answers to his own questions. But his heart was far from what God desired. And Jesus shows him that through a quite shocking story, the story of the Good Samaritan. He shows him the importance of showing practical love and care to those in need, regardless of their background. Not just important to know the right words, important to live the right way, important to have the heart that Jesus does for those around about us who are in deep need. And it's fantastic this morning. What a big load of different goods that are going to be going to those in Aberdeen who are very, very needy. This is fantastic. One little part where we can ask God to give us a heart for those deeply in need. So after addressing the danger of right words, wrong heart, Luke now records a little story which highlights a different danger. The title for this morning's message is, Andrew Mean is looking shocked because he always has to chase me for my titles, but the title for this morning is The Dangerous Distraction of Deserved Diligence. I may or may not have used a thesaurus to get there. The Dangerous Distraction of Deserved Diligence. Let's read the verses and you see if you can figure out how I landed on that title. They may or may not come up on the screen. Luke 10, 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. This is a very well-known passage. If you grew up in church, I'm sure this is one of the stories that you heard in children's church growing up. And the thing with this passage is it's quite easy to think of it in a very simplistic manner. You've got these two ladies, Mary and how many times is that going to happen? Mary and Martha. And the way that we can sometimes read this is, well, Mary is clearly the goodie in the story, right? She's the one who's listening to Jesus, sitting at his feet. She wants to know Jesus more. She wants to learn from Jesus. Mary's doing a great job. And then Martha, on the other hand, she's the baddie in the story, the bad example. She's too busy, too preoccupied, and she comes with that kind of self-righteous tone. Mary is affirmed by Jesus. Martha is rebuked by Jesus. So pretty well, simple. We should do as Mary did. We should not do as Martha did, and we'll be fine. Well, to an extent, I think that's right. But I don't think it is as simple as that. I don't think it's as simple as that. We're going to take the title of my message, and we're going to look at it in reverse order. The dangerous distraction of, first thing we're going to look at is deserved diligence. What on earth am I talking about, deserved diligence? The thing in this story, the important thing to know is that Martha understands something very important in this story. She understands that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, deserves wholehearted, diligent, earnest service. That's what Martha gets. And she wants to work hard to honor Jesus as he comes into the village of Bethany. First, we see this straight as Jesus comes in. First of all, from all the people of the village, it's Martha who opens her home to Jesus and the disciples. It's Martha who welcomes them in verse 38 and wants to look after them. This is just what Jesus has been encouraging. If you go back to the start of chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples and he says, when you go into a village and someone welcomes you, go into their home and receive the hospitality that they give you. So this is something that's very important to Jesus. And Martha wants to care well for Jesus along those lines, to give him a place to rest. Remember, Jesus had no home where he could lay his head. He was traveling around and he accepted the hospitality of those who gave it to him, and Martha wants to be that person. And then as Jesus and his followers come into Martha's home, Martha gets busy. She gets to work. Luke describes her in verse 40 as being engaged in much serving. She wants to serve. It's the same word that when we speak about deacon, it's the same word. She's a servant. She wants to serve Jesus. And let's be honest, friends, who can blame her? Who can blame Martha for this? I mean, Jesus Christ is in her home. This Jesus who had performed miracles, who had grown a following, who had spoken and taught with great authority, who had shown compassion to people, you know, who many people now were following him and seeking to wonder, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? This Jesus, whose name is spread around the region, is now in Martha's home. Some of our young people from ISA recently had a huge treat at school. They had the Queen come to visit their school. And I'm sure that the people of the international school pulled out all the stops to welcome her, to honor her. I'm sure that no expense was spared as they sought to show good hospitality to Her Majesty the Queen. But this isn't just the Queen. In Luke chapter 10, this is the King. This is the King of Kings. This is God Himself in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Luke is keen to emphasize this. Once in verse 38, Jesus is referred to as Jesus, but in every other time he's referred to as the Lord. The Lord is in Martha's home. And she wants to do well by him. She understands that Jesus deserves diligence in terms of how she will serve him. And Luke tells us that she's having to do all of this alone. So not only can we understand where Martha's coming from, but we feel a sense of sympathy for her, I think. Poor lady, having to look after Jesus, the King of Kings, and his followers all on her own. I'm sure many of us can identify and sympathize with Martha in this. I mean, let's think about our own homes, right? Let's think about when we have guests over for dinner, especially maybe guests that we haven't got to know just yet. Perhaps it's the first time they're going to come over to your home. You all know what it's like, right? The tidying of the house before, the kind of one room where everything gets dumped in and the door's closed. Or is that just us? I'm not sure. The cleaning that goes on before. Some of you are thinking, I wonder, did he have to interview Lindsay for research on this part of the sermon? Not quite. But you know what it's like? The preparation of food. You don't want to overcook the chicken. You certainly don't want to undercook the chicken. The vegetables need to have just the right amount of crunch to them. You want to get the right ambiance so that your guests feel comfortable at home. You're kind of hoping that the conversation flows. Okay, you go to a great amount of work to make that happen. And the grander the guest that's coming, or the more formal the occasion, the smaller the margin for error, and the greater that sense of anxiety that can begin to rise in us. Martha wants to get this right. She wants to honor the Lord. And whether we're talking about first century Israel or 21st century Aberdeen, we can relate to this, and it's true today. It is always the case that the Lord Jesus Christ is deserving of wholehearted service. Luke himself is keen to highlight this in the gospel. He talks about the importance of service a lot. Whether it's Mary, the mother of Jesus, who, when she's confronted by Gabriel in the news that she's going to give birth to Jesus Christ, what is it she says? She says, "I am a servant of the Lord." Or whether it's the woman in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, these few verses that speak about the woman who cared for, provided for the needs of Jesus and his disciples. Whether it's Jesus in Luke chapter 22, where he makes clear that actually if you want to be a leader, then the way that you do that is to be a servant. And he goes on in the very next verse to say, actually, I'm going to model that for you. Me, myself, I will be among you as one who serves. And even the story directly before this one, of course, Jesus has been encouraging his people towards sacrificial, practical service. Service is important. We see it in other verses of the Bible. Listen to this, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Last one, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And we could go on and on looking at verses like that. As members of the body of Christ, we have a lot of work to do. We have important ministry to be involved in Jesus' name. We've been looking at that recently as we've thought about the issue of church membership. You know that here in Hillview Community Church, hundreds and hundreds of man hours each week are spent furthering Jesus' work. Many people tirelessly, on top of family, on top of jobs, on top of leisure pursuits, giving of their time and their energy in order to continue the work that Jesus began all those years ago, furthering the work that God has called us to. And in addition to all of that, you've heard us share on a number of occasions that there is much more work that we believe that God is calling us towards. We're praying for more people to plug in. That's why days like today, and actually the last 3 weeks, when we've welcomed sisters into membership in the family, when people have chosen to say, yes, I've been on the edges for a little while, but I'm choosing to plug in. This is going to be my church, and I'm going to serve God in this place. That's why it's so encouraging, because we believe that God has wonderful work for us to do. And I need to tell you that there are some significant needs in the church just now. Craig is going to flash up a slide. Now, these are, you know, a number of needs which face us just now at this moment. I'm not going to go through them all, but you can take a look at them. These are not just things that we're like, oh yeah, 10 years from now, it would be great if we could, you know, pursue some of these ventures. But these are some active needs that we believe that we need help with to fulfill the ministry that God has called us to now. There's a lot of work to be done. Right, Craig, you can flash that down. Thanks very much. Now, some of you might look at a slide like that. Some of you might hear this first point of my message, and you might think, sack the preacher. He's missed the entire point of this story. Why is he banging on about all the work that needs to be done? Isn't this a story about doing less? About just being? Doesn't Jesus rebuke Martha for her busyness? Well, I hope you don't sack me, because the answer is no, I don't think Jesus does rebuke Martha for her busyness. Coming back to the sermon title, there is a diligent and earnest service that Jesus deserves. We are to participate in Jesus' work. He is owed our wholehearted commitment. It's the way in which we engage in that work which is all important. The problem, the issue that this story highlights, is when the participation in God's work becomes a dangerous distraction. A dangerous distraction. Let's read some of the verses again. Verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listen to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her. Now there is a rebuke coming, but what is it? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Yes, Jesus did have a challenge, a gentle and loving rebuke for Martha, but it wasn't because she was serving Jesus. Jesus did not rebuke Martha for the activity that she was involved in. He rebuked her because she was anxious and troubled about many things. Was Martha uninterested in Jesus? No. But she was, verse 40, distracted from Jesus by a number of other things. That word that's translated as distracted, it's a word that's it's the only time in the New Testament it's used. And it's a word that speaks of being pulled away to something else. So not that you're disinterested, but that you were there for a season that you desire to be there, but something else has pulled you away from that place. It wasn't that in Martha's work for Jesus, she was showing herself to be an enemy of Jesus. It was just that her work distracted her. It pulled her away from the most important thing. And it pulled her away to the extent that she became anxious. She became troubled and upset. Friends, working and serving for Jesus isn't a problem. But it is when you remove Jesus from that equation. Then it just becomes work. Then it just becomes a burden. English pastor Melvin Tinker says, before we can first serve Jesus, we must first hear Jesus. It's that connection with Jesus is absolutely crucial as we think about serving him, working for him, participating in his work. Here's the point. Martha's service for Jesus was no longer a natural overflow of her love and devotion to Jesus. But it had overtaken her. Her efforts were disconnected from her relationship to Jesus. And this brought about all sorts of unhelpful reactions. Jesus does deserve diligent service. But unless we're very, very careful, that can become nothing more than a dangerous distraction. Dangerous in three ways. First of all, we become frustrated with others. We become frustrated with other people around about us in the church. That's what happens here in the story, right? It's clear as day. Martha is frustrated with her sister Mary. She is bugged. She's annoyed by what she sees in Mary. Because she has allowed the distractions around about her to pull her away from Jesus, two things happen. First of all, she doesn't see the beautiful value in what Mary is doing. As Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, she doesn't recognize that that's precious because she herself has been distracted from that. And secondly, she loses the understanding that her service is supposed to be an act of worship. That's what our service is to God. We're to serve, to act, to move unto the Lord, to the glory of God. Whatever we do in all things, to the glory of God. But that's not how it is for Martha. It's become a chore. It's a burden, a source of anxiety and worry, and there is no joy in that. There's no worship in that. So with her eyes away from Jesus, the work that she is involved in no longer has value in and of itself. It becomes a job that needs to be done, and she's not getting it done on her own. And she looks around at her sister Mary, lazily, as she sees it, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she gets frustrated. Friends, when service is disconnected from the one that we are serving, it becomes a chore. And when others don't help with the chores, we get frustrated at them. Let me ask you, is this a danger for you just now in your walk with God? as you consider your life of service to God? Are you finding yourself frustrated at others around about you? Frustrated that no one's helping in the way that you do? Frustrated that you're pouring out your life and your hours and no one else is seeming to do that? If so, there can be a number of reasons for that. If so, the question is it because your hard work has become disconnected from meaningful, life-giving service and worship to Jesus? Have you forgotten why you're doing it? That's the first danger. We become frustrated with others. The second danger in this distraction is that we become frustrated with God. We become frustrated with God. It's interesting in this story. Did you notice who Martha's complaint is towards? She actually doesn't go and moan at Mary, but she brings her complaint to Jesus. Verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, and listen to the tone, right? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? That's more than just a question, isn't it? Tell her then to help me. Wow. That's quite a way to speak to the Lord Jesus who's just come into your home. Frustration at Mary has led to frustration at Jesus. Look at how Mary is treating me, Jesus. You obviously don't care about me. That much is clear. Jesus obviously doesn't understand the importance of what I'm trying to do, because he hasn't lined everything up in exactly the way that I understand it should be. In this, Martha has declared herself and her busyness, her own self-imposed standards, her own way of doing things, as being of more importance than Jesus himself. How sad and misguided it is when our frustrations at others lead us to be frustrated at Christ and his church. Your life and service for Jesus in this church is to be unto him for his blessing. He is worthy of your wholehearted devotion. And no number of failings, or let's be honest, perceived failings, as we understand them in others, no number of perceived failings should alter that fact that God deserves our devotion. God deserves our service. So when we think about ministry in the church, are you frustrated at others? Are you frustrated at God? God, why hasn't this church ordered things in such a way that my needs are met in the way that I would like? Tell them, Jesus, to sort it out. Don't come with that heart. Come with the heart that says, Jesus, you're worthy of honor. You're worthy of devotion. And I'm going to try my best to serve you. And the thing is, friends, as we all come with that heart, then we want to honor one another and help one another. And we need to. I'm not saying that we don't care about the needs of those who are pouring themselves out in ministry. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that we mustn't get frustrated at God. We have to come with the right heart, and as we do that, the Lord Jesus will enable us to see our blind spots, to see the ways in which we need to support and care for one another better. The third danger is that we miss out on the main thing. As we're distracted in potentially good things, the danger is that we can miss out on the main thing. While Martha is fretting about serving Jesus, Mary is enjoying knowing Jesus. While Martha is worrying about preparing food for Jesus, Mary is being fed by Jesus. While Martha is anxious about giving to Jesus, Mary is knowing the blessing of receiving from Jesus. She's there. She's sitting at his feet. Now, you need to understand, this is quite a startling picture. In those days, that position, that phrase of sitting at someone's feet, that was the position of a disciple to a teacher. And it was almost always, if not always, men who would sit at the feet of famous rabbis, of respected teachers. But here it is, a woman sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is the way that Jesus was right throughout the Gospels. He shows honor and care and love for women as well as men. He understands that women need to understand who he is, need to know of his blessings as well as men. And Mary is sitting here and she's learning from Jesus. And Martha, in her distraction, has missed out on that. She's missed out on the most important thing, which is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 42. One thing is necessary, Jesus says to Martha. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. There is a portion that Martha is interested in. It's the portion of the meal that she is preparing for Jesus. And she wants it to be prepared right. Jesus wants to make clear, don't worry about that portion. Worry about a different portion. The food he has to offer is of infinitely greater significance. And without the food that Jesus has for us, without that nourishment and instruction and satisfaction in Christ, her care, Martha's care for Jesus, ceases to be an overflow of worship and just turns into mere obligation. So the challenge is clear. Are you finding yourself, week to week, day to day, finding time to sit at the feet of Jesus? Does your life of service to Jesus flow out from that experience of embracing the one thing that is necessary, as Jesus puts it? Or has Jesus largely been removed from the equation? So life in the church, life in partnership with other brothers and sisters, largely feels like a chore, resulting in frustration at others and frustration at Jesus. Look at Jesus' loving response as we close. He doesn't mock her, doesn't get overly angry at her. There's a clear and precious sense of care for Martha. Verse 41. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." You know that repetition of names, right? Someone's running around about you and you can see that they're in a bad place, and you call their name once and they're so preoccupied that they just don't tune in, and you have to say again. And Jesus has a beautiful track record of these repetitions. You think of chapter 13, as Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not come." Or chapter 22, Peter hears these words from Jesus, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And here Jesus' concern is for Martha. "Martha, Martha, calm down. I know you mean well. I know you want to honor me. But you've missed the main point here." Jesus is saying to her, "You've missed me. You've missed me." Jesus, friends, did not come to distract us with stress and angst. He came so that we would know the blessing of life with him. And when we get that right, a life of joyful service will flow out from that place. But remove Jesus from the equation, and it just becomes an obligation, a chore. So do you know that one thing which is necessary? Are you sitting at Jesus' feet, knowing him, receiving him? This is not an easy message. because there are many, many people in this church who dearly, dearly love Jesus and dearly love his church and have poured themselves out in service for that church to the point where they're tired and wearied. And the challenge is for the rest of us, as we look on at that minority who are giving of their time to the point of weariness, the challenge is for us to look on and say, how can we get alongside? How can we help, support? How can we engage in the work that God has called and appointed for this church? And this is not an easy message for other reasons, because many of us in this culture that we live in particularly are just so prone to busyness, so prone to distraction. I'll be honest with you. I do not default to quiet reflection. I default to distraction, doing, whatever that might be. Sometimes work, sometimes Twitter, sometimes Facebook, sometimes whatever else. Any number of things. It is not a natural thing for me in my brokenness and sinfulness to, you know, without making steps and making plans to enter that place of peaceful reflection with Jesus. I have to plan for it. And I don't do it as much as I need to be doing it. And I'm sure many of you this morning are like that. You, like me, need to learn, need to take steps to embrace the beauty and the wonder of sitting at Jesus' feet. Turning off the radio on the way into work. Not frantically darting in and out of traffic, but praying for those who go past you. Little things like that. Little steps we can take to know the presence of Jesus in our everyday lives. Friends, without that, what should be deserved diligent service and worship will in time simply become a dangerous distraction. I want to just encourage you now to bow your head and to sit at the feet of Jesus. One of the reasons we have these words up here, God with us, is to remind us that Jesus is here by his Spirit. And if you need to take some of these words here, splendor and majesty, strength, beauty, he's our Savior, he's our servant King. Take a moment, focus your mind on a favorite verse, a picture of the Lord Jesus, a favorite understanding. Sit at his feet, bow before him in service and in worship. Know the one true necessary thing just now. Let's pray. Just stay in that place of prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.